Well, good morning. It's good to be here, and I've enjoyed the service this morning, and I'll be honest, I read the, I enjoyed Daryl's little history lesson on this area. Those of you who know me know I do enjoy history, and I thought the verse he shared there, pulled out, went very well with our Sunday school lesson. Take heed. If you think you stand, and Balaam, I read the whole passage this morning, and I'll admit my mind just kind of spins, and I don't think it should, but my mind just kind of spins how a man with a direct connection to God could play such a foolish game. And time and again, chose against better knowledge. And he knew. He knew what God said. He knew what God wanted. He knew what God's plan was. And yet, and the verse I would parallel along with that, with what Daryl shared there, was Jeremiah 17:9, I believe it is. The heart of man is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And someone pointed out to me that that is the heart of a carnal man, not a spiritual man. And I think we see that in Balaam's life, the heart of a man who valued things more than God, even though it's kind of mind-blowing how he had direct conversation with God. I struggle to put all that together. For a message this morning, the title is The Total Christian Life Manual. And my mind was taken to this because recently I bought a book for my boys, since their dad is not much of an outdoorsman. I can't pass on a lot of experience to them, and I do see some value in outdoors things. So I picked up a book, and I have it up here, and it's called The Total Outdoorsman Manual, and it's a pretty fancy looking book, but the description about it is also pretty impressive. It says, updated and expanded 408 skills, including new tips from 10 years of the Total Outdoorsman Challenge. The Outdoorsman Challenge, I don't know much about it, but it's a challenge where men go and they're put to the test to survive for a period of time and use their creativity and their survival skills to survive, to live in the outdoors without all the conveniences that we're used to every day. On the back, this book says, hunt better, fish smarter, survive anything, camp anywhere, challenge yourself. And it's a pretty impressive looking book, and I haven't in depth read through it and studied it, although I would like to more. But looking at it, you know, it gives me the feeling like, wow, if I actually dug in and studied this, I'd be pretty much prepared for life outdoors. I would know. I would know the things I need to know that some of you know, probably at least half of this stuff or more, just because you've been doing outdoorsman kind of things and hunting and fishing and camping. When I was looking at this book, though, it ran across my mind. This says the Total Outdoorsman Manual, and 408 skills to do that. And I thought, you know, is there a book like that for the Christian? How does the description of this outdoorsman book compare to the Bible? Now, the Bible we have doesn't, for most of us at least, isn't near as splashy and fancy looking book as this outdoorsman manual. But if we reword that title, the Total Outdoorsman Manual, and we give it the title I gave, The Total Christian Life Manual. Does that fit? I think it does. So this is a book, this Outdoorsman Manual, it's a book put together by, well, it's Field and Stream, but it's featuring T. Edward Nickens. And as we think about how books are compiled, how they're put out, information gathered and put together, printed, released, and then sometimes what happens, more information comes along. And this one says updated and expanded. You know, more new versions come along of the same book and contain new information. But typically, once the author has passed on, the book will never get reproduced again. It is what it is. And as we think about the Bible, I just have a few facts about the Bible I would like to look at that make this Bible very unique. So the Bible is compiled of, it holds about 4,000 years of history. That's a staggering number. Because this Outdoorsman Manual is compiled of 10 years of experience. Mostly, it's 10 years of experience. Four 4,000 years of history over a time. It was written over a time of about 1,600 years by about 40 different people across three continents, and the authors were anyone from scholars to shepherds, kings to commoners. So, very diverse. Group of people that wrote into the Bible. A few more facts. The Bible is the best-selling book of all time. It's been estimated to have sold over 5 billion copies. It's been translated into more than 700 languages. It's one of the oldest and most widely read books in history. It is the most printed book of all time. The Bible has a profound influence on cultures all over the world. The Bible has been a source of answers to some of the world's most fundamental questions, such as the existence of God, the purpose of life, and what happens after death. Those last two I found very intriguing. It's had influence on cultures all over the world. Now this book, The Outdoorsman Manual, there's certain parts of the world that it's almost going to be useless. Because it specifies for a specific certain category of things, of places. And then that second part, it's a source of answers to some of the world's most fundamental questions. This Bible has answers that no other book has. Do you believe that? You can probably find a collection of other books that will cover outdoorsman things. Maybe, you know, similar, but the Bible is the only book that actually holds the answers to life's questions. The fundamental questions, the existence of God, the purpose of life, and what happens after death. And that list I covered, that's quite a list of accolades. No other book holds that much prestige. And what makes this book so great? It's because it's the total Christian life manual. It tells you how to live, both from a historical perspective, it gives so much history, but also from a real life-changing perspective or application. I said this outdoorsman manual doesn't apply everywhere. This book would be pretty helpless in the city, I would imagine. But the Christian Life Manual applies to all people, anywhere, everywhere, here on earth. And I said this Outdoorsman Manual has four categories listed: camp, hunt, fish, and survive. And I'd like to apply those 4 points to the Christian Life Manual. And in some ways, we're just scratching the surface on some of these points. But maybe we can dig into some of them more another time. And the first point I have is camp. The Christian camp, our home. So the Outdoorsman Manual gives helps on how to make camp safe, comfortable, and how to improvise without the conveniences of all your house supplies or run into the store. The Christian Life Manual has some helps for a successful camp or home as well. And I have two sub-points here. There could be a lot more, but two major sub-points. A, God's security. Psalm 23, verse 4, part of that verse says, "I will fear no evil." Why? "For thou art with me." We're going to touch on that a little more too, but depending who is with us makes all the difference. God is present in the Christian life. God is present. We have a teepee down in our woods, and sometimes, just for fun, I say, maybe at the supper table, we should sleep in the teepee tonight, because we have done this on random and at random times, and oftentimes it's met with some enthusiasm until I say, "Well, you know what? I'm not planning to sleep out there tonight." And then the enthusiasm dies pretty quickly. Because when Dad's along, it brings a certain element of security, right? That is missing when he's not there. And it's the same way with God. Knowing God is in our lives, God is along, God is in the plan, he's in the picture, brings security. Psalm 34, verse 7, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them." We talked about that a little bit in Sunday school. Angels in our presence. I had to think of that picture of two children on a bridge, and that little boy, I think he's reaching down to get flowers or something, and there's an angel standing behind them. And we look at a picture like that, and it reminds us that, you know what, even through dangerous or scary or potentially problematic situations, God's presence is there for children, for us as we follow him. Psalm 91, verse 1, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Verse 2, "I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust." You know, if anything portrays that picture of safety, of strength, it's a big stone fortress. And people who run into that, they're safe most of the time. At least it gives safety, it gives protection. And God, I believe, protects us so much from so many things, just as his people, just as a fortress protects the people who run inside of it. And there's many more verses in the Bible about God watching over and protecting his people. But you know what? Without reading this manual, you wouldn't know that. You wouldn't know that following God brings, and having God in your life brings, security and protection. You wouldn't know it. You may not be sure if your camp is safe or not. God is like a fortress for us. When our camp is set up with God, we don't have to worry if it's safe or not. It is in His hands. And that brings me to the second point under this, point B. So if the camp is safe, what makes the Christian camp an enjoyable place? And second point is the true love of Christ. When that's found in the camp, it's an enjoyable place. And a few verses to point this out. Ephesians 5:25 says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Husbands, is the love of Christ showing by the way you give yourself? Christ gave himself for the church. Are you giving yourself for your wife, for your family, for your home? Also, Titus 2, verse 4 and 5, it talks about the wives. Verse 4, it says, "Teach young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children." And how? What ways do they show that love? Verse 5, what are they bringing to the home that is showing that they love? Verse 5, it says, "To be discreet," which means safe and self-controlled. It says to be discreet, chaste. Chaste has the idea of being clean and pure. Keepers at home, good. What does good mean? Well, Strong said it just kind of means good. But it said to also cross-reference with another definition there, and it had the idea of valuable and virtuous. Obedient to their own husbands. True love at home will produce joyful giving and a joyful giving and serving attitude that just blesses everyone around. So those two things may anchor a Christian home. Or they're two of the main things that anchor a Christian home, a Christian camp. God promises his protection to his people, and knowing this gives us rest and peace without anxiety. And also, the love of Christ makes it an enjoyable place to be. Probably you've been at camps where, because of circumstances, it wasn't enjoyable. Well, with these ingredients in our homes, a Christian camp is an enjoyable place. All right, point number two, hunt. And we could go a couple different directions with this, but I have hunt for the truth. There are other outdoorsman manuals that are maybe shorter, easier to read, easier to understand. You get done with them quicker, maybe cheaper, maybe more interesting. The one I got has a name on it that when I saw that, it brought a level of authenticity to the book. At the top here, it says Field and Stream. And for the outdoorsman people, that all of a sudden, that's a name that we associate. It's pretty good. It should be pretty good. It's not just a knockoff, run-of-the-mill kind of thing. So I'm pretty confident that the information in this book is going to be legitimate. It's going to bring good things for the categories that it specifies: camp, fish, hunt, and survive. Being successful. The only thing I need to do now is read it, right? Just having the book isn't going to help me anything. If I want to benefit from it, I need to spend a minimal of probably a few hours studying it, poring over the information inside, maybe making notes, visualizing how I would do you know, certain things, if I was in this situation in my area or, you know, yeah, around the lakes here, maybe if you go out west in the mountains or something like that. So to study it, to make notes and to visualize it, but then most importantly, go and put practice what you've studied, what you've learned. And so much more with the Christian Life Manual. You know, the author of the Bible, I said there's 40 authors approximately, but really the author is God. And it covers all your needs. There's nothing left out. So point A under this, study it so you know how to use it. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing, which means handling or understanding, the word of truth. If we study the word, we can properly apply it to our lives and receive blessing in that. Another look at some people who did this, Acts 17:10-11, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who, coming thither into the synagogue of the Jews, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. So in Thessalonica, the Jews rejected the truth. When Paul and Silas brought the truth there, it was rejected. These Jews in Berea, when they heard the truth, they got the scriptures they had, and they studied it to see if it lined up. They dug in. They didn't just reject it because it didn't fit into their program or what they thought they knew about the word. And you know, because of that, they got an honorable mention in the Bible. That they were more honorable than the Jews at Thessalonica. And brothers and sisters, we've all been taught, well, most all of us have been taught from little on up, truths in the Bible. But that doesn't mean we can sit back and just relax. It doesn't mean we're safe. While what we have as a heritage is a tremendous blessing, each one of us needs to make it real in our own lives, or we will likely lose out. This is God's word. Do you treat it like the word of God? Balaam had the word of God. And yet his carnal man still overrode God's word in his life. Do you read this? Do you study it knowing that it has the answers for life? This book has all the answers for life. It gives wisdom to its followers. Proverbs 2:6, for the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. And you can turn to Psalm 119, verses 97 through 104. I've been reading through Psalm in my personal devotions, and I read this actually the second time this morning, and I was just blessed again. Psalm 119, 97 through 104. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. Who are our enemies today? We may not have like a lot of people that we consider our enemies, but there are enemies, say, in our thought life, in our attacks on our spiritual life, and like discouragement and depression, that kind of thing. Through thy commandments, thou hast made me wiser. It gives wisdom to overcome the enemy. Verse 99, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. Studying God's word, meditating on God's word gives understanding. Verse 100, I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. Keeping God's word gives understanding. I've refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. Keeping God's word keeps us from going places we shouldn't go, saves us from heartache and tragedy. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. When you understand the way of life, the right way to live, it gives you a hate, a detest for the devil's tricks, just like he got Balaam with the money, the riches, the wealth, the fame that Balak promised him. You know what? He says, I get understanding and I hate the false way. It gives us understanding to avoid those traps. So study the word. Know what it says. It'll bless your life. Point number three, fishing. Fishing for men. The Outdoorsman Manual tells us that it tells what to bait, what bait to catch fish, where to fish, and how so that you can be a successful fisherman. The Christian Life Manual has some things to say about fishing for men. Matthew 4:18, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. This is the first time we hear in the Bible about fishing for men. Fishers of men. What does it mean to fish for men? Well, we know the story. The story in the gospel, how Jesus took these men and he called them to take the gospel to the lost people of Israel, the lost people around them, bringing both healing physically and spiritually. In Luke 4:18, Jesus' words, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. These were Jesus' words. They were his mission and his reason for coming to earth. And as his disciples, the disciples were called to also participate in that work. And today we are called to continue that work of preaching the gospel, touching the brokenhearted, opening the eyes of the spiritually blind, and showing the spiritually captive freedom in Christ. That's what this book teaches. Freedom. Do you fish for men? Do the people in your life know that you are a fisher? Have they felt Christ's presence in you? Have you shared the good news with them? Maybe at work, maybe on a phone call, maybe at a restaurant, maybe at a store. Here's a challenge. How many people have you told this week about the gospel and what it's done for you? How it has made a difference in your life. It's a challenge for me too. May we be like Peter and John, who said in Acts 4, verse 20, for we cannot but speak the things which we have heard, seen and heard. And also the man possessed with many devils after Jesus had healed him. He wanted to go with Jesus. Mark 5:19, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish it in Decapolis, how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. We forget. We forget going through life. Most people have a facade. Most people have a front put on that makes it look like they have everything under control. But man without God is missing something very important, very integral to life. And often because they're missing that, in their life, it's full of confusion, frustration, hurts, broken relationships that plague them. We have the answer. They need to hear the good news, the gospel, the healing that Christ can bring if they accept him. Has Christ done great things for you? Go and tell them. Go and tell. Have you found rest and peace within, rolled far away your load of sin, stepped from the old life to the new? Tell what the Lord has done for you. Oh, tell what he's done for you of his love so strong and true. Oh, tell what he's done for you. Others may need him too. Brings me to point number 4, survival. Looking at the Outdoorsman Manual, it's the last thing on the list. Survival is probably the most important, although the other 3 will support your survival. But in this book, it gives tips on how to stay alive in hard times. And the main author and writer, he has personal stories in this book telling his experiences and how he has survived hard times. You know, a man has natural instinct to try to survive, but without the help of learning and understanding scenarios and things that can kill you, you might not make it as long as you could. And many people have died because of that, because they simply didn't, maybe they hadn't studied the map of the area and they were in a desert. And if they'd only known there was a water source just on the other side of that cactus, or, you know, if they would only studied and known with the right knowledge, they could have survived. What does the Christian life manuals have to say about survival? Well, number 1, there is danger. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. These verses give us several things that we need to consider for survival. Number 1, we're in danger. The devil is out to get us like a lion stalking its prey. So the first thing it says is to be watchful and vigilant. Alert, pay attention. When we're in a familiar area, we tend to let our guard down and relax. The devil doesn't care where we're at. He will try to get us anywhere, anytime we let our guard down. And as I thought about this, as it compares to a lion, out in some places in California especially, I believe, some of those towns regularly have mountain lions visiting their towns. And guess what happens? Why are they coming in there? They're coming in because there's pets that are outside that make easy prey. Now, we think a lot of people would associate a mountain lion isn't going to come into a city, but it does. And there's vulnerable animals in there that get taken. He'll do the same thing for us. When we think we can stand, take heed. So it also says, resist steadfast in the faith. Be strong. Have faith in God's promises. Faith in his presence and strength on your behalf. Do not give in to the devil's lies of discouragement and defeat. Also, because we fall prey does not mean that we can't get back up. For those animals in California, most all of them, once they get picked up by a mountain lion, they probably are never seen again. But for the Christian, just because we fall does not mean we can't get back up. Psalm 86, verse 5. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Christ is ready to forgive as soon as we call out to him. Second point under survival. Take the right person with you. And we talked about that a little bit earlier with the illustration of a teepee when going down into our woods, sleeping there. You know, if dad's along and having God along makes all the difference. But Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. The words of Joshua to the children of Israel. But you know what? I think we can claim them today as well. God is with us. He will not leave us alone. He will not run off, maybe like a big brother will to a younger sibling when they feel vulnerable. Jesus also talked about the hireling fleeing when the wolf comes, but not the true shepherd. And Jesus is our true shepherd. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28. In Jesus, we can find relief from the struggle, from our weariness. He is willing. He is ready to help. He is present. So our main need for survival is knowing Jesus Christ, having Jesus Christ with us on this journey of life. We could look at more under survival. We could look at the whole armor of God. We just had a message on that, I believe, 3 Sundays ago. A couple weeks ago, Brother Wendell looked at that. And the point I'll just pass along with this is that we have the necessary things available for us to survive an attack. Have we put them on? Have we tried them out? Have we studied? Do we know what we have, and have we prepared ourselves for that time of need? The last point under this survive is a separate point, because I have written down not just survive. We're going to break away from the survival aspect of life now, because we don't need to just survive, barely making it, just trying to get by, eke out our existence and make it through life. But we can thrive through the Christian Life Manual. This book tells us how we can have life, and John 10:10 talks about life more abundantly. That's a big contrast from just surviving. And life, abundant life, starts with a relationship with Jesus Christ and knowing Christ and living a life more abundant. It refers to a life enriched by a relationship with God and experiencing true joy, peace, and purpose. True joy, peace, and purpose. How many people that you talk to in a day, in a week, know what that means? Most of them don't know what that means. They don't know anything about true joy, peace, and purpose. You know, it also speaks of a life that portrays the fruits of the Spirit. And may our lives be this, portraying this to the lost people who don't know about true joy, peace, and purpose. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, self-control. Against such there is no law. There's no law against these virtues. In fact, people are naturally drawn to those who display these things, these qualities. Their lives are a blessing both to themselves. It's a rich life to themselves and to those around them. And may we grow. May we grow in the Word and thrive, truly thrive. May that be our existence. And lastly, the Christian life is not just a manual, but it's a multi-tool. I have a little story. Tennessee Henry Ford said this. The story is told of a young man who is preparing for a long trip. He told his friend, "I'm just about packed. I only have to put in a guidebook, a mirror, a microscope, a lamp, a telescope, a volume of fine poetry, a package of old letters, a few biographies, a book of songs, a sword, a hammer, and a set of books I've been studying." "But you can't get all that into your bag," said his friend. "Oh, yes, I can," he replied. "It doesn't take much room." With that, he placed his Bible in the corner of his suitcase and closed the lid. Brothers and sisters, the Bible, and I trust you don't doubt this, but do we treat it like that? The Bible has the answers for us to make it through this life successfully. Not everybody is going to be successful. But this is the complete, total Christian life manual. There's other good books, but this is the complete manual. Read it, study it, know it, love it, and share it, and live. Let's pray.